Well, you may remember having heard this summary of our purpose for existing. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Unfortunately, because of human rebellion, or sin, people do not glorify God. Neither do they enjoy him, unless something happens to change the situation. Really, perhaps I should say two things. First, Jesus. His life and his death was true worship of God. His perfect love and his perfect obedience glorified God. He showed us what a true worshiper is. His life is the standard against which all others, even those who attempt to worship God, are seen to fall short. But as we will soon celebrate and remember here at the table, his worshipful submission to the Father that took him to the cross provides a way, the only way, for others to be acceptable to God and to be restored to their true purpose as people who glorify God and worship him forever. The second thing is that in God's sovereign wisdom and will and delight, he has ordained that people be restored through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is where missions come into his plan. The most common way to refer to this restoration is the phrase, to be saved. Being saved saves a person from something and saves a person for something. What a person is saved from is multifaceted, but we could summarize it as being saved from the wrath of God. What we are saved for is also multifaceted, but I'll use a phrase from verse 12 from our reading in Romans. God bestows his riches on all who call on him. Or using a phrase from our Holy Communion liturgy when we pray, grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may obtain forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. Paul says this salvation is for those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Great. But then Paul asks, how will they call on him in whom they haven't believed? And one question leads to another, to another, to another. And how do you get to the good of all? How do you get to the goal of someone believing and being saved? As we follow Paul's chain of thought, it begins with being sent. It's his last thing he says, but that's where it begins. Someone is sent to preach so others can hear, so they can believe, so they can call on the name of the Lord, so they can be saved. Think of this phrase from our gospel reading today. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Did you know our word missionary comes from a Latin word meaning one who has been sent? Jesus was the great missionary. He crossed the boundary from heaven to earth. In our gospel lesson, he sent specifically the 11 disciples of his inner circle. But he has also sent his whole church to take this gospel to all nations. Now, in that, some are sent by the Holy Spirit and the church in special ways. In Acts 13, for example, the Holy Spirit said to set apart for him Barnabas and Saul for the work to which he called them. So the church fasted and prayed, laying hands on them, and sent them on their way. The church that stayed at home, it continued their mission, telling others about Jesus. It prayed for the missionaries that they had sent off, and they sent money to help them do their work. At least we know that later other churches did support Saul, who later was called Paul, financially. And he called it a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God in Philippians 4:18. And then he gave them a promise. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So, missions is very important in God's plan. Just think of that event in Acts chapter 13. There were five leaders of the church that are mentioned. God called two of them, 40% of the leadership. Think of the leadership you have here at your church. What if God sent 40% of them to go proclaim the gospel in other parts of the world where people, there's some people that have not even heard about Jesus yet. And so for us, it's a great privilege to be sent by the Holy Spirit, we believe, and by the church to tell people about Jesus, and particularly in Chile, because there are a lot of Christians there. We feel it's important to help the church in Chile realize that they also have the privilege and the obligation to send workers out from Chile to other places where Jesus hasn't been heard about. And so we feel that the churches here are partners with us in that. Now, Heidi is going to tell the story of a particular lady whom the Holy Spirit sent in a very special way on a mission.
Rufina is a member of our Equipping Servants International Bible Study course. We were in the final module of six modules when COVID hit. Of course, everything shut down and our Bible study moved to Zoom. The final module is a study of the book of Acts, and we all marveled as we read what the disciples prayed for when the persecution of Christians became a daily part of their lives. They did not pray, "Lord, keep us safe," but rather, "Lord, give us boldness to preach the gospel." We were kind of blown away by the realization of how they prayed. It convicted us. What were we praying? "Lord, keep us safe in the pandemic. Lord, help us not to get COVID." Rufina was moved by what she was learning. And the next week, she told us that she was troubled by the thought that the people in hospitals were not allowed to have visitors because of COVID. She felt like they needed hope, but no one could take it to them. She also shared with us that that the Holy Spirit had impressed on her the need to pray for boldness and that God would take her, quote, out of her comfort zone, just as he did with the disciples by means of persecution. Little did Rufina know how God would answer her two prayers. One, for hope to be brought to patients in the hospital. Two, for God to take her out of her comfort zone and give her boldness. How could that happen in the middle of a pandemic when no one in Chile was even allowed to leave their house except with a special pass to go buy groceries and other essentials twice a week? We did not know how those prayers would be answered, but God did. Shortly after praying that prayer, Rufina developed digestion problems and had to be hospitalized. She became a patient in the hospital. God took her out of her comfort zone, as she had prayed, and God used her to bring hope to patients in the hospital. Now, you have to understand that public hospitals in Chile are not like hospitals here. There are four or six patients per room. So Rufina had a captive audience, and she began to share her faith. She had a mission, and she wasn't going to miss the opportunity. In the 6 weeks that Rufina was in the hospital, she shared Jesus with a lot of people. She was there so long that she had a large number of roommates. They would come and go, but not before Rufina had shared the gospel with them. And God did amazing things. People were healed. People were restored to a relationship with God after having wandered for years. People came to know Jesus. One lady did not want to listen. So whenever Rufina would pray in the room, she would plug in her earphones. But one day, her earphones broke. God has amazing ways of getting people's attention. And she had to listen. God touched that young lady. He healed some things from years ago, and he reminded her of a dream she had had once about Jesus calling her and had ignored for years. All told, at least 10 of those with whom Rufina shared the gospel were significantly impacted by what they heard in life-changing ways. Now, there may have been more than 10. Only God knows and only eternity will tell, but at least 10 that we know of. Now, what happened to Rufina, you may ask? Well, the doctors had discovered tumors and really thought she had cancer, but the biopsies showed no cancer, and eventually the tumors disappeared. But all of that took 6 weeks, giving Rufina time to share her faith with all those people. The doctor asked how long she thought she would be there, and this was her answer: until God decides it's time for me to go home. When Rufina did go home, her body was healed, and God's mission for her had been fulfilled. Her prayer had been answered. God had taken her out of her comfort zone, and hope had come to patients in that hospital.
So after having heard that story, we're going to share with you a presentation that gives a little bit more about what we do in Chile. And we're going to come down to do it. Well, when we last visited, we shared how after 28 years of serving as SAMS missionaries with the Anglican Church of Chile in urban areas, our family was invited in 2014 by Bishop Avelino Apeleo and his wife. Oops, it didn't move. There. By Bishop Avelino Apeleo and his wife Patricia to join them by moving to Temuco to help revitalize the work of the Anglican Church in the place it began 125 years ago.
The rural areas of southern Chile, home to the indigenous Mapuche people. Now, for years, the desire of Russ's heart had been to work among the Mapuche. And in 2014, God saw fit to grant that desire in bringing us to serve among them.
Now, just to make it a bit clearer, in case you didn't study geography, the country
of... case you're geographically challenged, right? Yeah.
The country of Chile, the country on the map of South America that you see, the light blue on the left, on the Pacific coast, is about 3,000 miles long. Then in the middle and the side, you can see where Santiago is in the region that we marked in red, and Temuco, where we now live, is in the other region to the south of that that's marked in red, about 450 miles apart.
Although there are many different things that we are called upon to do in the body of Christ, we want to focus on two of our main responsibilities in the Anglican Church of Chile. The Rural Bible Institute is one.
The urgent need is for the theological and biblical training of the Mapuche church leaders, with the view that some of them will later be ordained. I was invited to serve as professor of one of the Old Testament courses and for the Book of Mark, and to help students with their homework from their other classes as well. Many of them had limited formal education and needed extra support in these studies.
Each year, a small group, very small, receives intensive training and a minimum stipend to help facilitate their 10 months of study. Here is Russ with this year's class. You can tell it's this year's class because they've got masks underneath their chin. Anyway, there he is with this year's class and the last day celebration they surprised him with.
And the year ends with the graduation ceremony. This was the 2021 graduating class and some of their professors, the ones with the scarves, who were local Anglican pastors and the bishop. We had already left Chile, so we missed this event. Now, for the second one of our responsibilities in the diocese.
During the first 3.5 years that we were in the South, in addition to his work at the Rural Bible Institute, Russ was given the responsibility of visiting many small rural congregations, like this one, most decades old and almost all without a pastor, and many being primarily one extended family. This one happens to be the family of Marita and Pedro, our daughter-in-law and son-in-law, who are first cousins.
However, early in 2018, our job description changed when our bishop informed us that he needed me to be the pastor of Reino de Dios, or Kingdom of God, Anglican Church, a very small congregation in Labranza, a bedroom community of Temuco.
He was installed as pastor of the church on March 24th, 2018, in this joy-filled service and celebration.
Now, Reino de Dios Church was begun 45 years ago after an evangelistic campaign in the neighborhood, when the community numbered a few hundred people. Today, although the community has grown to tens of thousands, the congregation numbers less than it did 45 years ago and is primarily composed of one family.
The people welcomed us enthusiastically. In all those years, the church had never had its own ordained pastor. During our first year there, we were able to reinitiate the Sunday school, which had not been functioning for 15 years, and recruit a small team of women willing to work as teachers on a rotating basis.
And then these two ladies were sponsored by Heidi to participate in the Women's Encounter in the Holy Spirit in a neighboring Anglican church, with the hope that one day we'll be able to start that ministry in Labranza at Reino de Dios.
We were thrilled to share the Alpha Marriage Course DVD series with this small group of couples who were enthusiastically celebrating their completion of it.
And this is the final picture that we shared in the presentations we made 2 years ago on our last visit to the States. Listen to the words we said as we prepared to return to Chile in February of 2020.
These are the words. They're a little bit prophetic. Only the Lord knows all that he has in store as we continue to serve him there. What we know is that as Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 proclaims, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Little did we know how we would soon experience the absolute truth and power of those words. God did indeed know all that was in store as we returned to Chile that February and participated in this prayer vigil in our church.
Bishop Avelino and his wife Patricia welcomed us to stay in their home while we looked for a new place to live close to Labranza.
But in our absence, Chile had undergone a social uprising, and houses to rent were not easy to come by as many people had left Santiago, where there had been most of the destruction, and they had moved to other areas of the country, including Temuco.
After 3 weeks of searching, we did find this house in a nice neighborhood, 10 minutes by car from the church we serve. We moved in with all the stuff that had been in storage for 7 months, and 2 days after the moving van was unpacked,
the pandemic hit, and everything was locked down.
God's timing.
One thing this meant was no more in-person church services for a year and 7 months.
We were allowed to leave our house only with a temporary permission pass, just twice a week and for 4 hours at a time. The pass came from the police department, would be downloaded onto your phone. That's it right there. And if you didn't have it, the machine gun armed guards at the supermarket would not let you in. And you could be stopped on the street by the police or military officials and fined or even jailed if you did not have your pass. Curfew was at 9 each night, and from then until 5 in the morning, you could not leave your house even with a pass. Life, as we had known it, changed drastically.
And so did ministry. Here's one of our church services.
Even in a pandemic lockdown, God is not in quarantine. That's the translation of the words you see on the screen in dark type. This is part of a music video of the Latin American version of the song, The Blessing, that appeared during the pandemic. We sang it a lot in Spanish. Like so many others around the world, we discovered Zoom and the almost limitless possibilities available if you were willing to latch on to them, daring to step out of your comfort zone and into this new thing.
So this has been the amazing new thing that God has done. As As we show you a glimpse of our Zoom life these past 2 years, you will hear our son Joshua singing that song that has been sort of our theme song of the pandemic. Words of hope, words of faith, words of truth. Waymaker is the title.
These are all different things that we did during that year and a half. 17 Zoom meetings a week. The stories of God's grace and answers to prayer.
And his mercies.
And even miracles are too many to share.
Suffice it to say, we have experienced his faithfulness, his healing.
That's Rufina.
His love and steadfastness, even in the midst of our storms.
Our extraordinary God in our ordinary lives. Time and again, he has been and will continue to be our waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
Until the day God calls us home.
Our God, that is who you are.
So, what lies ahead? In-person church services were allowed to resume on Sundays only in September of 2021.
Our bishop, Avelino Apeleo, who's there, is shown on the left at his consecration in 1994. He's actually the only Mapuche bishop in the world. That's the indigenous people of Chile. And now retired from his service as diocesan bishop. Now, because the man who was selected by the Electoral College and ratified by the Diocesan Synod to be our next bishop was not approved by the House of Bishops, for now,
Pastor Jose Pino, shown here with his wife Marisol, will be serving in the administrative role as Vicar General for the time being.
And we have been asked to resume visits to the rural churches, like these two, as we had done during our first years in Temuco, as well as continuing the ministry at the Rural Bible Institute and at Reino de Dios Church.
It is our hope that one of these young men who just graduated from the Rural Bible Institute will be able to come alongside me to support the work at Reino de Dios and, God willing, eventually become its pastor.
And so we look ahead. What we proclaimed before returning to Chile 2 years ago and have experienced in these past 24 months, we proclaim again from Lamentations 3, 22, and 23.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness.
So we hope with that you've had a little bit of a glimpse into our life and ministry in Chile, and especially in these two incredible years that we've just all been through. As we finish today, we would like to present two things. First of all, a gift that we've brought from Chile for the Church of Apostles. This was made in the area where we live by Mapuche women. It's made out of wool, and we'd like to give it to you and ask you to put it someplace where you can see it and remember us. And we do want you to remember us more than just on Sundays, so there are two things to help you do that. One is our prayer card, which has a picture of us and each of our four children, and those who have spouses as well. And we will have those in the back of the church today, and we'd love it if you would take one and if you would put it somewhere where you'll see it often. We never forget the story of a lady who said, you know, I'm going to do that. This was years ago. I'm going to put it on my refrigerator. And every time I open the refrigerator to get a glass of milk for my children, I will see your picture and I will pray for you. And also, thanks to the work of Father Rob, we are offering to you a small card that you can also pick up as you go out, or maybe the ushers gave you as you came in, that has our picture on the front, a flag of Chile, and on the back, a little bit of information about us. So thank you so much.
Would you pray with us? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love in sending Jesus to the world, the first great missionary. And thank you that you have made it possible for the gospel to reach to our people. And we continue to pray that you will be glorified throughout all the nations on earth. And so we pray that you will continue to send missionaries out, put that vision in every church, knowing that they have a part, an important part, in accomplishing your great purpose for the universe. Worship of you. In Jesus' name, amen.